Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. We're going to kick off today's show by getting an update on the fires in Sonoma County. Authorities just finished a press conference in Santa Rosa saying that the fire grew just a little bit overnight to a whopping 75,000 acres. And unfortunately, the National Weather Service is expecting a, quote, challenging afternoon and evening ahead with very strong offshore winds. They say that they're in a critical 24-hour window. Many evacuees will probably be unable to return home today because of the strong winds. And authorities say people should continue to be vigilant about fire hazards. One law enforcement official said that he had to stop someone on the highway who threw out a cigarette butt. So that should definitely not be done, especially right now. Joining us to talk about what's happening in Healdsburg is Arielle Kelly. Arielle works with Corazon Healdsburg. It's a community-based recovery effort for clients and families who are in need of assistance due to the devastating fires. Hi, Arielle. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, you know, I grew up in Sonoma County, Arielle, so I knew Healdsburg before it was referred to as the wine country. I mean, now there are lots of expensive restaurants there and wine tasting there, but a lot of immigrants live in Healdsburg. In fact, it used to really be a farm worker town before it became very upscale. So can you talk to us about how the immigrant community is coping with these fires?
Absolutely. When the fire first started on Wednesday night of last week, it first impacted the town of Geyserville, which is just to the north of us. And Geyserville is about 2,000 residents, maybe 3,000, mostly agricultural farm workers. And those were the first people to evacuate. And so we set up our shelter early Thursday morning in Healdsburg, and that is the place where the Geyserville community was first evacuated to.
And what do you think about the media coverage and how they're covering Healdsburg? Because, I mean, it was horrific. The entire area of Healdsburg and Windsor had to be evacuated, and we were all watching very closely. Luckily, the firefighters did such an amazing job and prevented major fires in that area. But what do you think about how the media are covering Healdsburg and the surrounding areas?
I have to be honest with you. We are on the ground at shelters all over the Bay Area, and I'm not actually watching the media. Sonoma County is in a power blackout, and internet is down. Phone cell towers are down. So we're kind of in the dark in terms of what the media is reporting, to be honest.
Well, what are you seeing and hearing in the shelters? Are they all still at capacity?
I'm working on getting some accurate numbers right now. I know the San Francisco shelter that opened yesterday at St. Mary's Cathedral on Goff and Geary does have capacity. We just found out this morning there's about 200 people sleeping in their cars in Cloverdale at a parking lot that they thought was going to be set up as a shelter, but is actually just a charging station for PG&E. And so we're trying to help move those people into a more permanent shelter situation today. And there are varying reports about what the shelter capacities are, and we're working to get accurate numbers so we can help to direct people. I know in Petaluma, there are a number of people who came to the shelters and are just sleeping in their cars because there is power there, there's food there, but there is not enough beds.
Wow. So what are you hearing from people who are sleeping in their cars? Because, I mean, they have to deal with the horrific conditions outside, and I just smelled the fire here in San Francisco yesterday. But for all of my relatives and friends up north, they say that the air quality is really, really bad.
The air quality is terrible, and it's been terrible since early Thursday morning of last week. I think the issue around people in their cars or people who are not in a permanent, safe environment is that we had no idea how long this was going to last for. And I think a lot of people thought they could, you know, ride out the storm, so to speak. And now we're definitely hearing there's another severe weather event happening tonight, and very unlikely that northern Sonoma County, kind of the epicenter, Windsor, Healdsburg, and Cloverdale, will be able to return home tomorrow. We're looking more like Thursday or Friday, if that. And
wow.
So now that temperatures are really dropping at night and people are literally freezing in their cars, we're realizing we need to get blankets out to these people. You know, up in Cloverdale, which is like kind of the furthest north in Sonoma County, they're still actively farming, trying to pull in their agricultural crops before, you know, things kind of rot on the vine. And so those folks don't want to come to a shelter because they're working and they need to work to make money.
Right. Well, can you talk a little bit more about that, especially when we're talking about agriculture workers and farm workers? Are they going to work with these horrendous conditions?
They are, yes. Even on Thursday when the fire was still threatening Geyserville and Healdsburg, Geyserville was under a mandatory evacuation at that time, and Healdsburg was not yet on a mandatory, but everyone knew there was a strong potential. I think it was Thursday night or Friday night was when the first severe weather condition happened. So those workers were really hustling to get the last of the grapes picked. And we've had people, we had about 90 farm workers in our shelter in Healdsburg who were there on Thursday leave on buses with their employer to go out and pick and then return back to the shelter after that pick. And I believe they went out again that afternoon or that evening.
So the employer, the winery employer actually picked them up from the shelter to take them to the winery?
Well, they brought them to the shelter because they had to evacuate their farm worker housing, yes.
Right, because, remind us, so for a lot of the wineries, there's farm worker housing.
Not a lot, I'd say a few.
A few.
That's been built kind of out of desperation because there's not enough. We already had a housing shortage before the 2017 Tubbs Fire. That got exacerbated in the 2017 Tubbs Fire. So many, we have a labor shortage and we have a housing shortage. So a number of our vineyard owners build farm worker housing either for families or they build bunk houses for H-2A visa holders. So the H-2A visa is a temporary agricultural visa where you can come to work for, I think it's 6 to 9 months. And so those are the folks who we were housing in the shelter because they had, you know, they have no family in town, they have no resources, and it's a large number of men who needed to be housed urgently.
This is disturbing to hear, Ariel, because even in the Bay Area, people with respiratory issues are being asked to stay inside because of the air quality. And it is not as bad, obviously, as it is where you are. So can you talk more about this? So these employers dropped off the farm workers at the shelter and then picked them up to go work outside?
Yes. And most of them left without masks. And it's devastating. I mean, we're talking about a vulnerable population, low-income agricultural workers, and we should be mandating that if they're going to be working out in the field in these types of conditions, at the very least, they're wearing masks or respirators, and that at some threshold, they just should not be out there working. And I know after 2017, which was the fires that happened also during the harvest, there was conversation about passing some sort of legislation to kind of mandate that's not going to be happening going forward, but I don't believe that legislation ever went through. Wow. And so there are, and let me be clear, there are some great vineyard owners and vineyard management companies who are taking care of their employees, who are keeping them out of harm's way, who are providing them masks and urging them to wear them. But yes, there certainly are, there's not enough information being provided to these workers to let them know how dangerous these weather conditions are for their health and what the long-term health impacts are. I mean, and also, to be clear, the chemicals that are being used, we don't know what's in the retardant that's being dropped from these planes that's covering, you know, a lot of our agricultural areas and our homes. You know, I think it's bright red. Should we be concerned about the health risks of that as well? I mean, I know it's protecting us from the fire spreading, but what are the risks if they're picking or they're in a vineyard that's covered in chemicals? You know, we banned Monsanto, but we haven't banned all of the non-organic chemicals out there that are touching our crops and harming humans.
Exactly. And you just reminded me, we had a show with Beth Gardner on who writes about air pollution. And she said the latest science says no amount of air pollution is safe.
Yeah. And I mean, we're feeling it now. I've been wearing a mask for 5 days and I'm really struggling to breathe. My kids are coughing. I'm evacuated as well. And I'm here with a group of folks that we got out of a shelter and into hotels. And people, if you can tell, sorry, speaking of being in a shelter, there's a dog barking next to me. But there are people who are really, really struggling respiratory-wise. And we're going on 5 days now.
We are going on 5 days, and for a lot of people, the power might not come on until 3 or 4 more days. Ariel, for people who want to help, as you said, there are shelters in Petaluma, Novato, Marin, now in San Francisco. What is the most effective way for people to help either financially or with goods or even with their bodies? Because some people who are fixing lunches say that if you've got a good back and you can chop, we need your help.
So right now, we are deploying financial resources on the ground at various shelters, making sure that people have gas money, money for food, money to buy clothes. So we're actually actively distributing cash, emergency funds, to people in need, and that is through the Corazon Healdsburg Unity Fund. CorazonHealdsburg.org is our website, and the Unity Fund is a great way for people to make donations. You can also make a donation through our Facebook page. But we are working with the Latino Community Foundation and other great organizations on the ground in Sonoma County to really make sure that folks, especially vulnerable populations, are not, you know, living in their car, running out of gas, have no money, left with no clothes, and, you know, sitting there with their children wondering, how are we going to get out of this situation? All the gas stations are closed. We have no food. I mean, it's becoming somewhat of a desperate situation for people who are not at the shelters. And so if we can centralize people and get them to the shelters and out of harm's way, we can provide them with the resources they need. We also just got word this morning that there's hundreds of people in Cloverdale who are without power and without food. And so we're trying to get food to them in Cloverdale, which is up north. So if there's people in the Ukiah area or up there who want to help, helping us get food to Cloverdale would be wonderful, although Ukiah also has no power.
And Aria, last question. A lot has been learned from the last fire. State officials, CAL FIRE, a lot of people are working very, very hard to make sure that this fire does not grow, especially into communities. And a lot of people say that they are doing a much better job because they've learned so much. When it comes to helping vulnerable communities, do you feel that state officials have improved, you know, their outreach efforts, for example, reaching out to these vulnerable communities?
Absolutely. Both on the firefighting perspective, I think we are so lucky to have had so many resources deployed quickly to save Healdsburg and save Windsor. We saw it live video as they were actively trying to knock down the fire that would have impacted our, you know, community of 13,000 in Windsor, which is even larger. In terms of communications, yes, I think it has greatly improved. Everything the county's doing and our local cities are doing in terms of communicating about shelters and evacuations has been bilingual in English and Spanish. That was not the case in 2017. And so I think the outreach, they got the message that we really did a terrible job in 2017 reaching our Spanish-speaking population. And so this go-around has been greatly improved. And I think thanks to the work of a coalition of Latino-serving organizations that have really stepped up and made those demands of our local government.
Well, Ariel, thank you so much for all of your work. Thank you for joining us, and we'd love to check in with you again in the coming days.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Ariel Kelly is CEO of Corazon Healdsburg. This is an organization that is helping people, families who are in need of assistance due to the devastating Kincade Fire burning in their community. And you can find more information if you'd like to help. I will just give you the website. It's corazonhealdsburg.org. And again, unfortunately, the fire grew to 75,000 acres. It is now 15% contained, and we will continue to provide you with updates in the coming days. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.